So today is actually going to be a very exciting day for a couple of reasons. One is that we are talking about one of my favorite Bible passages. It goes along with some themes that I'm a huge fan of. It has a lot of meaning to those who originally had it at the time, as well as it means a lot to us now. So that's going to be pretty cool. The other thing that makes today incredibly exciting is that you're going to see a side of me today that is not known by everybody. For those who know me really well, they've seen this side of me before. It'll be no surprise. Others who know me well but haven't seen this, it'll come as no surprise. Others of you, this will come as a total shock, and some of you don't know me at all, so it won't mean anything. But it's a side of me that is not always seen, and as such, it should be interesting. And if nothing else, today's exciting day because God is going to do something incredibly powerful and impactful for everyone here today. And that's not just a hope, that's a guarantee, is that God is going to do something here today. So let's pray one more time, and then we'll get going. Father God, we thank you so much for everything that you've done and for everything you have yet to do and for everything you're currently doing in our lives. We ask that you continue to keep our eyes open for where it is you're moving in our lives and to help us to know where it is you want us to go and when it is you want us to stay. I ask that you bless the words that I say today, and just may the message that you want known just resound to everyone who needs to hear it. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So today, the subject matter we're going to be talking about is the armor of God. We're going to be reading out of the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, starting on verse 10 until verse 20. When I was first thinking about doing this topic, I was trying to find a way to read this message in a way that would carry on the excitement that I'm feeling about this topic. For a long time, I couldn't figure out what exactly I would do. And then I thought about it, and I decided that maybe I should have someone else do the reading. And then I'm like, well, who? Who can do the reading and make it as exciting as I want it to be? And so I searched the vast site of YouTube, and I found someone who is reading this particular passage that I think is going to add a lot of intensity. I could not convince him to read the NIV version, which will be what I'll be preaching out of, but it's still just as cool. So we're going to listen now to this passage being read by none other than the voice of Mufasa and Darth Vader, James Earl Jones. I'm going to step out. I'm going to grab some props. In the meantime, listen to this guy's awesome voice.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
So this is that side of me that not a lot of people will see. This armor that I'm wearing is the armor that I would typically wear when I would go to the Renaissance Festival, which I go to. I used to go on a yearly basis. This sword that I'm wearing is one of the swords that is in my sword collection, of which I have about 13, and several other various daggers, knives, and other medieval-style weapons. And this shield I'm actually borrowing from my stage combat instructor from college. Put this all together, and this is a side of me that is actually a pretty big part of my life, that I find the medieval-style combat incredibly fascinating, not just to learn about, but also to practice. To dress up like this, it's a little nerdy, I'll admit, but so am I. So yeah, all this put together is a big part of who I am. So imagine my delight to find that in the Bible there's a passage that strictly talks about the armor of God. Now what Paul is talking about here, that the battle is not against flesh and blood, but it is instead against the rulers, the authorities, and the powers of the dark world. What he's referring to is Rome. At this time period, Rome is in charge of everything. And pretty much all of the known world is owned by the Roman Empire. And either starting around this time or shortly thereafter, Rome will discover Christianity, which is pretty new, and will decide not to like it. So they will persecute, capture, and execute Christians. So the authorities of the dark world is the fact, he's referring to the Roman Empire, who is going to just attempt to wipe out Christianity. And he also makes mention that the only other force that is equally as terrifying as Rome is the force of the enemy against the devil, who will take whatever opportunity he has to attack Christianity and Christians, trying to destroy them, destroy their hope, destroy everything they believe in. And so Paul is warning that, you know, say, brace yourself, because this attack is imminent. But he doesn't just leave it there. Paul gives us a defense. He discusses the armor of God, which is an armor that not only will help you defend against all this stuff, but at the end of the day, you'll be able to remain standing. And when you have this armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the sandals of the readiness of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With a combination of these things, we'll be able to stand against the attacks of the enemy, and not just stand against and defend, but also to go out into the world and talk about Jesus without fear of persecution or ridicule. That was not only just important then, but it's important to us now, that we can go out into the world without fear, without worry, without the idea of persecution deterring us. We can still go out and advance God's kingdom. Now, so what is this armor of God? Like, when we break it down, what exactly is it? If it's not a physical suit of armor, then what is it? Well, if we look at it on face value, we see that each of the pieces of armor is accompanied with some kind of attribute or characteristic that is a very positive and good characteristic, and these are things that we should have. Truth, we should be telling the truth, and truth is honest. Righteousness, we should be righteous in what we do. We go down the list, and these are all good things that if we take all these characteristics to heart, become this kind of person, then we won't have to worry so much about the persecution or about the criticism. But let me show you something that is a little more intense than that. Something that I think Paul is really trying to get across. So we're going to talk about these pieces and talk about how they all fit together in a way that is really just more impactful than we can actually ever really comprehend. We look at the belt of truth. And if we jump to John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This belt of truth. Jesus is truth. The belt is of Jesus. The belt is Jesus. The breastplate of righteousness. Romans 1, verse 17. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. This righteousness of God that is revealed in the gospel. The gospel is the gospel of the good news of Jesus. The righteousness of God is Jesus. The breastplate is Jesus. The sandals of the readiness of the gospel of peace. We go back to Isaiah chapter 9, starting at verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is referring to the coming of Jesus. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. This readiness of the gospel of peace is a readiness in the peace of Jesus. These are the sandals of Jesus. The shield of faith. We go to Acts 26, starting on verse 18. Paul is recounting the story of his conversion when Jesus first encountered him. And he says that Jesus said to him, I am sending you to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That faith, the shield of faith, is a faith that we have in Jesus that brings us life. That shield is the shield of Jesus, the helmet of salvation. We go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is only possible through Jesus. This is the helmet of Jesus. And finally, the sword of the Spirit. John 1, starting on the first verse. The sword of the Spirit, that is the Word of God. John writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He goes on to say that all things were made through the Word. Nothing that was not made, well, everything that was made through the Word. Everything that was not made with the Word was not made. He is referring to the Word being Jesus. This is the sword of the Spirit and the Word of God. The Word of God is Jesus. Put it all together, the armor of God is Jesus. Jesus is our ultimate defense against anything the world can throw at us, anything that the enemy can throw at us. Jesus is the armor, our defense, the armor of God is Jesus Christ. Now, the problem is this. We are raised in a world that is dark. And in this dark world, we are brought up in such a way that we are taught to look out for number one, for ourselves. We are taught that we must be our own defense, that we must protect ourselves from whatever the world throws at us. And as a result of that, we tend to try and put on our own armor, this earthly armor. And the thing about this earthly armor, the thing about armor in general, can you hear me that piece there? The thing about armor in general is if you are wearing a set of armor, you can't put on a second set. It just doesn't work that way. So when we put on this armor of earth to protect ourselves from what's going on, we can't wear the armor of God. In other words, when we try and put up our own defenses, when we try to take care of ourselves and not rely on God to defend us from whatever's going on, we tend to push God aside. And we don't allow God to do his job. We take the role for ourselves. We try and do God's job. And if there's one thing we know about trying to do God's job, is we can't do it right. We try to push God aside and do his job of protecting us. We try and use our armor instead of the armor of God. And the thing about it is, the one thing about armor is if you're wanting to wear armor, you're going to want to wear the best armor. And this armor we have of earth, this is not the best armor. Not only is it not the best, but it is faulty, it is incomplete, and it does not work. We are not able to fully defend ourselves with this armor that we put on ourselves. And so what do? One thing that we tend to do is if our armor is not good enough, we try to build it up. We try to add more to our armor. We try to make it stronger. We try to make it thicker so that we are not vulnerable anymore. If you continue to add to a set of armor, if you continue to add thicker plating and more to it, what it really does is it gets heavy. And the more you try and put on, the less it takes for you to become exhausted. And if you're exhausted, no matter what you have on, you're vulnerable. We try to add to the defenses we put up against these worlds, but if we're not using the defenses that God gives us, we are still vulnerable, no matter what we do. So how is it that we get from this broken, incomplete earthly armor to the armor of God? Well, what we have to do is take off our armor of earth. We have to start lowering our defenses and start removing this armor that we put on ourselves. And we may be thinking to ourselves, if we do this, we're exposed. If we do this, we're vulnerable. We're without any kind of defense. People can attack us, and we're defenseless. And it may take time, and it may be difficult to do. But here's the simple truth. While we may be taking off these earthly defenses, while we may be defenseless for a time, what we're really doing is we're making room for God to do his job. What we're really doing is we're opening ourselves up to a vulnerability for God to defend us. And if one person can defend us, it's God. We're opening ourselves up to use the armor that is Jesus Christ. And it may be intimidating. It may be terrifying to take the one thing that we have as humans to defend ourselves and throwing it aside. But when we do that, when and only when we do that, can God put his armor on us. Only then can Jesus surround our entire body and defend us from all angles. And it gives us a freedom. When we're bound by our own armor that is heavy and wears us down, we can't move, we can't breathe. But the armor of God is light. The armor of God is not just through power and through power, but it is also through God's grace, God's mercy, and his love. So it may be terrifying to take off this earthly armor that we as humans have been raised to have. But once we do, we're given something that is so much better.